and welcome to the Tipsy Sewers podcast,
co-hosted by Ellen the Stitches and Hazel the Machine.
Today we are talking all about our sewing wins and sewing fails.
Ooh, so grab your favorite tipple, let's have a little giggle. Oh, this feels so weird via Zoom.
You were just like, ooh, let's grab a tipple. You might have already guessed already that there's sounds like everything sounds a little bit different in the Tipsy Sewers podcast. Unfortunately, on the day of recording, today is when Storm Eunice, is that her name? Eunice.
Storm Eunice has hit London town.
Well, yeah, everywhere really. And it means that Hazel could not get on her train to come and record in my flat. So we're having to improvise and we are doing this via Zoom. It's our first time recording via Zoom and we know there's going to be some glitches and it's not going to sound as crisp and clear as we'd like, but please bear with us because we're trying our best.
We are trying really hard. But, you know, in the positive, this is really good practice for us in the future when we have a potential guests.
Potential top secret guests that no one should know about apart from us.
So, you know, Elle's just gonna have to get used to editing this now.
For those of you who don't know how to edit a podcast, which might be quite a few of you, there is a lot of hoops I have to jump through. And it's made even harder via Zoom because unfortunately there is, you won't hear this because my editing is so good, but there's gonna be some lags in terms of some silences through the internet with us not replying to each other super quick. So I'm gonna have to edit all those out, which is so much fun.
Dramatic effect.
Yeah, but Hazel, some, like the last episode that I was editing, it was like a 20-second pause and I was like, what were we doing? We must have just been staring at each other, just not saying anything. It was so weird.
We do stare at each other a lot though. When one of us says something really odd, the other one looks, it's always me who says something weird though, and Elle always just looks at me like, are you okay?
And then usually you're like offended, you're like, did I say something wrong? And I'm like, no, I'm so confused.
Ass flaps, here we go. So ass flaps 2.0.
I actually think that ass flaps was probably everyone's favorite moment of that episode. I got a lot of messages about ass flaps. I wasn't ever expecting to say that sentence. Many.
I honestly, I just never thought it would come up again, but I had to tell my grandmother about it at lunch and she goes, so what are you going to do this afternoon? She's American for everyone who's just wondering why I put on a terrible American accent. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go record my podcast episode with my friend. You know, we have this sewing podcast, you know, it does well. And she goes, so what do you talk about? And my mom was like, you should hear them, they are hysterical. Mum then starts talking about it. She goes, Hazel said something really inappropriate. And I was like, cheers, Mama Debs. And Louise is going, so what did you say? And I was like, well, we were talking about mini skirts. And I was talking about how I didn't want my ass cheeks to come out. But for some reason, I combined it with another female anatomy and ass flaps came out. She honestly looked like she was about ready to write me out of her will.
How old is she?
I've never seen that woman. 70?
Oh my
no.
God.
Yeah, 70. So yeah, she looked about ready to kind of go, you are done.
Oh, I want to meet her. Definitely want to meet
great. Her. She's great. She's great because she also used to sew back in the day and used to sew herself like fake Chanel suits to go to her law meetings.
That's so bougie, Hazel. I love that. Hazel's on the Diet Coke now, which is actually against the rules of the Tipsy Sewists, just to let you know. I went out and bought myself a bottle of wine, even though I didn't fancy drinking today, because I was like, you know what, we're still recording. So I'm on a £5 bottle of Tesco's Sauvignon Blanc.
And I'm on a Diet Coke because I've had two bottles of a very, very nice Grillo.
Two bottles between...
three of us.
That's terrible.
The waiter came over and was like, ladies, what can I get you? And we were like, oh, we'll have a bottle of the Grillo, please. He was like, any water? We were like,
I don't even know what that wine is that you're saying.
Oh, you like Grillo. It's a bit, well, it's not like a Gavi. It's kind of got the depth of a Gavi, but the lightness of a Pinot Grigio.
What is a Gavi? I'm so confused.
Gavi to Gavi.
Hazel, you're I thought I was posh, but you're just next level.
I think I've also worked in quite a few restaurants where we served a lot of wines.
Yeah, the places that I used to manage, we didn't have the fanciest of tastes.
Well, you did have a lot of very fancy beers. I did come to one of them, remember?
Oh, yeah. I can talk about the craft beers for sure. I don't know.
And cocktails.
Yeah. Oh, we're so sad. We planned this special cocktail for today, but it's fine. Let's just do it next time.
Yeah, we'll do it next. It'll be good.
So let's get into it. Today's episode is about sewing wins and sewing fails. I'm sure everyone has a lot of both. And we just thought it would be such a fun topic to just throw out some stories that we personally have of some things that have gone right and some things that have gone wrong.
Oh, there are always things that have gone wrong. So, always.
Okay. Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, but I'm thinking, I feel like most of my sewing fails are terrible fit issues, like absolutely awful fit issues.
I have some ones where I've done some stupid shit.
I mean, I've sewed pocket bags the wrong around.
That is nothing in compared to what you're about to hear me tell you, but don't worry, I'm happy to be the one that like leads in the sewing fail department. But maybe we'll start with our fails and then we'll go on to our wins. Let's end on
we have high. To end on a high. So I think my biggest sewing fail, and I actually don't even own this garment anymore. I did a brutal sort out of my wardrobe and I got rid. Really? I just, even though I managed to salvage it into something that was relatively cute, I just could not bear to look at it. And the fabric was really scratchy and awful anyway. So that's what you get for getting cheap fabric.
I'm just going to jump in here as Elle, the editor, and say that at this point, we knew the internet was pretty bad, so we kind of stopped recording. And then from the next segment, we've picked up on different devices. The internet's a lot better, and Hazel is going to restart her story about her sewing fail. Enjoy!
Okay, so probably my biggest sewing fail today is my pink jumpsuit that turned into a dress. I'm sorry.
Is that me or you?
That's me.
Oh, okay. I was like, who's texting me?
It's Joe WhatsApping me.
Can you tell Joe that we're doing some very important business? It's just as important as finance.
I told him that, but I also then messaged him and I was like, are we going to cinema tonight?
You're like mid-podcast recording and you're like, I can't wait for it to be over. Let's go to the cinema and watch Sing 2. Me and Sam watched Sing 2 last week and it was so good.
I really want to see that, but I don't think Joe will go with me.
What are you going to watch? Are you going to watch Belfast?
No, I think we're going to go and see Uncharted.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
It's got Tom Holland in it. It looks like a really trashy kind of, what's the word? National treasure kind of vibe thing.
Oh, I don't know what you mean, but okay.
Have you not watched National Treasure with Nicolas Cage?
No. I don't know anything about films. All my friends take the piss out of me because obviously I'm an actor, and I basically have like never seen any films up until like the last couple of years. So like I've never seen a Disney. Well, I had when I was a child. I'd never seen a Disney film. I've still never seen The Lion King. Like
what? And The Lion King's a classic.
We don't need to go into this now because every time I tell people this, I'd lose friends instantly. Okay. They're like, how are my friends?
You're not going to lose me, but we are going to go into this next time I see you.
I know. So this is why my friends now are like, let's go to the cinema. And I'm like, oh, let's go and see this new kids animation. Because I never watched animations growing up. I have great parents, yeah. Don't get me wrong. But my mum said that she got really bored watching Disney films with my brother. So she didn't watch them with me.
And
So I've not really seen many films. My favorite film in the whole world is Wimbledon with Kirsten Dunst and Paul Bettany. I love any films to do with sports. Like I love Coach Carter and like
Blind Side.
Yeah, I love The Blind Side, like Bring It On. Like any films to do with sports, like I could watch a documentary or a film about any sport, even sports I like don't enjoy. Like I just watched one about cricket. I have such a weird taste. Anyway, that's just such a sidetrack. You carry on about your jumpsuit.
Are we going to leave the ping pings? Or should I start again?
Yeah, and we have like wasted so much valuable like good internet time talking about films.
I feel like maybe we should just leave that tangent in.
Yeah, because it's the only thing that actually sounds good. Yeah, yeah, sorry. Me and Hazel are having some difficulties with our internet and the recording. We've had to start it so many times. And then this is the first time that we've actually had good internet and we went on a tangent about films.
But this is what the people want. They want the tangents. They don't want the sewing content. I feel like we need to scrap this sewing bit. Like, no one wants it. They just want us to sit and talk utter shite.
So we're just going to be like podcast personalities. Oh my God, stop it. Imagine.
No, that's not funny.
Okay, so you made this pink jumpsuit. Then what happened?
Yeah, so made this pink jumpsuit, adorable. I had this gorgeous like pastel pink denim. It was slightly stretchy.
Oh, denim?
Yeah.
Oh, in my mind, I was thinking of like viscous.
No. So it's like denim, boilersy. It had like pleats in the bust. It was long sleeved. It was so cute. And the bodice, I was like, ooh. And the trousers, I was like, ooh. And then I basted them together and I was like, oh. Sorry. So essentially my nether regions could not breathe. I had the worst camel toe of my life, but it wasn't even like just the flaps camel toe, it was like ass flaps camel toe too.
No way, Hazel, did you just manufacture a story to use the word ass flaps again? I see through you. You've been wanting to find a way to get that word in. And you just did it, like, off the tongue. I'm so over that.
But honestly, I thought, you know, this can't be that bad. I'll just let the bait, because I basted it together. I was like, I'll just let it out slightly. No, there was no salvaging this.
But Hazel,
and I have a short torso.
I was just about to say that. You have a very short torso. So was that... pattern made for someone with a torso shorter than yours?
Well, I was like, and this was a McCool's pattern. Most of them are drafted for someone who's 5'6". I'm 5'4".
So where did you mess up?
I honestly don't know. I don't know where I messed up. I'd love to know where I messed up.
So the only thing that would have saved it would be to unbaste it and then add a panel around the middle.
Yeah, but I didn't have enough fabric to add a panel around the middle.
Right, so you threw it away?
Well, no, I turned it into a dress, very entrepreneurially of me, because if I didn't hold my arms above my head, the waist fit perfectly. So I made it into a dress. So every time I lifted my arms above my head, the waist suddenly was around my boobs and the hem of the skirt was showing off my camel toe.
Wait, how short was this dress that you turned it into?
But it wasn't even that short. It was like mid-thigh. It wasn't that short. So I don't actually...
Wait, did you... sorry to interrupt. Did you cut the trousers and make the trousers into the skirt? Or did you use other fabric for the skirt?
So I cut the trousers into a skirt.
Okay. That's very clever. I don't know...
Honestly, I managed to keep the fly zip as well. Because it had a button fly down the front of the bodice. And then it went into the trouser.
That's very clever.
I managed to salvage that into the skirt as well.
Wow. And unfortunately, RIP to that garment.
Yeah, RIP. Because also, like, you know when some fabrics are just super scratchy? This was a scratchy fabric. So every time I put it on to wear it, I was like, I can't wear this. This is just like...
So it puts you off. So there's no point in trying to fix it.
No, there was no point. And I had it in my wardrobe for ages. And then earlier this year, I was taking a ton of stuff to the charity shop and I just went, bye.
Yeah, you just got to let it loose sometimes.
Yeah, and there was no salvaging it. I think I might have thrown the pattern away in a bit of a tantrum as well.
You idiot.
I know.
I think I have that denim boiler suit pattern from McCall's.
It's gorgeous because it has like a belt tie. You can have it as a play suit. You can have it with short sleeves. You can have it with an elasticated cuff, I think, around the ankle.
I really need to show you this pattern because I think I've got the same and now I'm scared.
In the words of Lisa Boba Buns, always do a twirl.
But doing a toile of a denim jumpsuit is expensive, I'm not going to lie. Okay. If I do it out of like a calico, I don't think that's going to really tell me the truth of how that denim is going to react.
No, because all denims sit differently. There's no similarities in denim. It just, particularly as well, this one had stretch in it. So if I toiled it out of a calico and it was fine, the stretch, it might have suddenly had a really saggy crotch. Like.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that was my ultimate fail.
I don't actually think it's as bad as my fail.
I can't wait to hear your fail.
I actually think a few people know this story because I did post it about it on my Instagram, but it was about a year ago. So we've had some new fans since then. It's probably I actually can't believe this story happened. So anyway, I'll start at the beginning. It might be a bit of a long one. I'll try my best to make it short. So I won some fabric from the rag shop and French Terry, and I won it as part of the Sew Yellow for Endo challenge, which is run by Jess at Sew What If I Sew, and she raises money for endometriosis.
Yeah,
and she's running that again this month, actually the month of March, and please do join in, and I will be joining in as well. You have to sew something yellow and you can win lots of cool prizes, and you need to donate as well. So I won a fabric bundle from the rag shop. I knew I wanted to make the Freya roll neck top by Tilly and the Buttons, and I thought, oh, this fabric is French Terry, which means it's stretchy, right? It'll be totally fine. And instead of doing what the instructions say on Tilly the Buttons, which was to like measure the stretch of the fabric, I obviously thought I knew better, because clearly I know what I'm doing 90% of the time.
100%.
So I never know what I'm doing. And so I was like, yeah, it's fine. So I cut it out and the front looked good, the back looked good. I was like fully vibing. I was like, this is gonna be such a cool roll neck. And I don't even think I cut the roll neck on the bias. I think I cut it on the straight grain.
I think I know where this story is going.
Yeah, so I cut it on the straight grain because I wasn't even paying attention to the absolutely very clear grain line that's on the pattern. And then I was like, oh, this is great. So I attached it to the bodice neckline, to the collar, whatever it's called, the neck hole. I attached it and I was like, this looks really cool. And then I went to put it on and I was like, oh, it's not really going like stretching over my head. And I was like, maybe this is how stupid I am. I was like, maybe I should top stitch it. First of all, Elle, surely you should.
I'm sorry.
Top stitching is going to make it less stretchy. But anyway, that was what I did. So I top stitched like the neckline. And then I tried to get over my head, and then I got it to about like my ears and it didn't go down. I have famously quite a large head anyway. So I thought it was just because I had a large head. And then I was like, oh, that was stupid about the top stitching. So then I undid all the top stitching and then I tried to get it on again. And my boy, this is the nail in the coffin right here. Sam, my boyfriend, was like, Elle, you're never going to be able to get this on. Like, you've made it wrong. You're not going to be able to do it. If someone tells me I can't do something, especially Sam, I'm going to prove him wrong. So then I got it. I literally stretched it as far as I could. And I was like, this is so painful. And as I was stretching it over my head, Sam was like, okay, fine. You're going to be able to get it on, but you won't be able to get it off. And I was like, as he said that, I literally, it went over my jaw, around my neck. And I was like, oh, I've got it on. And then he was like, but as I've just said, you're not going to be able to get it off. And then the panic started to set in and I started getting really hot. And I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to get this off. And I was only wearing pants at the time and like nothing underneath, like no bra or anything. And I was like in my living room with this jumper on. Sometimes I'll sew naked just because it's easier to like get it, like try the garment on like when I'm making it. Anyway, sorry, this story is so long and it actually gets worse. Like, this is like the first chapter of like four. So then I tried getting it off and obviously it wouldn't come off like at all. Like, it wouldn't go over to my jaw. And so then Sam was trying to like pull, because I was like, I really can't get it off. We finally got it around my eyeballs and that's when it like stopped, like fully around my... It was like fully stuck and it was stretched the most that fabric could stretch. And then my housemate, Ollie, who's my best friend, she came in and I was like naked in my pants with the neck roll around my eyeballs and Sam pulling the bodice from the top, like trying to pull it off. And she's like, what is happening? And I was like, I can't get it off. And then so she was just being like, you can do it. Like trying to like cheerlead us. And Sam was like pulling and pulling, and then I got on all fours because I just couldn't stand up anymore. So I was like on all fours, and then both of them, like tug of war, were like pulling the thing, and it finally came off my head.
Oh my god.
And then I obviously realized that I'd done it wrong. So then I took the neck, the collar, like the roll neck off, and I replaced it with some ribbing. Before that, oh my god.
Oh god, there's more.
Before that, so I took the neck band off and I was like, oh, I'll just add the sleeves in just so I can like deal with the neck at the end. And then I proceeded to add the sleeve to the neck hole by accident.
No, ow.
By accident. So then when I put it on, I had like this like
so much more arm.
There was like this whole arm, like I have a video, I will send it and you can post it on Tipsy Service. I tried it on and I had like this trunk coming out of my neck. Like I don't even know where my head was at the time, but like the sleeve was in completely the wrong place. Anyway, I took that off, I put it on right, and then I ended up making, oh, it's very boring the rest of the story, but I ended up sewing.
Did you find some perfectly matching ribbing or something?
No, I did put some white ribbing on. Actually, I'm wearing it right now, this white ribbing. I added the white ribbing and then I was like, oh, it looks like horrendous. So I took the white ribbing off, but I had some extra fabric of the same kind to make the neck band on the bias. But I was so scared that I actually cut it out really big. And so now it's just like a very weird, big, yeah, very flappy roll neck. But I do wear it. I wear it to keep me humble.
To remind you. I was so fucking stubborn. I shoved it on and then I had to stand there sweaty in my pants and nothing else while other people pulled it off my head.
Exactly. I needed to know that if I always think I'm better than the instructions, that I'm always not. Such a long story, but it's definitely like the biggest sewing fail story I have to date.
I feel like that's quite an important one though. I think maybe that's where most people go wrong, when you're reading the instructions and you go, I know better, I don't have to follow this anymore. And I'm sure a lot of people listening are probably going, oh, I've done that a few times.
Yeah, like, do you baste, like, when it tells you to baste?
No. Do you stay stitched necklines?
Oh, I stay stitched all the time. I always stay stitched necklines, always.
I do not.
Isn't that weird? Because you're usually like anal about all these things.
Anal? I'm organized.
Organized. I really don't base. Oh, you know when it tells you to put gathering in a different colored stitch? Are you joking? Oh,
I mean, it's a good way of getting rid of colored threads. So like I've got my grandma's collection of threads has loads of like oranges and reds and yellows in it, and like horrible colored greens, because those are some of her favorite colors. And when I say horrible colored greens, they're not horrible colored greens, they're just not greens I will use.
Yeah,
so that's, for me, that's a great way of you getting rid of them. But I honestly, yeah. And also when they say like do two or three rows for gathering,
I'm a two row max.
I'm a one row max girl.
No, you can't do one row on on like a puff sleeve.
Yeah, you can.
But I think it's risky.
It's not that risky. You just gotta fiddle and ease it in a bit more.
So no, as in I did a one row on a bodice, like attaching it to a gathered skirt. Sorry, on the actual skirt piece, and then it snapped.
Oh yeah.
Halfway round it snapped.
Did this happen on a Tilly Buttons indigo skirt?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
But now I do two just in case.
Fair enough. I mean, I understand the practicalities, and also on the times I have done more than one row of gathering stitches, I have been very impressed with the result. I think I'm just too lazy for it.
Sometimes I find when I have done the three rows before, I find it difficult not to have my third row like overlap my second row. And obviously they have to be within the seam allowance, so they have to be super close together.
Well, they don't have to be within the seam allowance, you just have to unpick them.
See, I ain't doing that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the issue, isn't it?
I'm not unpicking gathering. No, thank you. Have you got any more fit stories or like fail stories?
I have a heartbreaking fail story. I mean, it's not a fail story, it's a work in progress story, I suppose.
Okay.
Basically, we all know Stores London Fabrics, right? Like, super gorgeous prints on this, like, I think they're cotton Pima lawns.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you'd love Stores London.
I think I followed them, but I haven't, like, had any of
their products. They don't post that much on their Instagram. Well, I bought some last year because I got some money for Christmas and I thought I'll buy some. So I bought this beautiful fabric. It's this, like, bright, I was going through a purple phase, a bit like I'm going through a green phase. I was going through a purple phase, and it's like this green, it's bright purple floral, and it's gorgeous. So gleefully, I cut out this dress from it, and it's quite a fitted bodice, but it's got like a really gathered full skirt, and a it's plunging V neckline, and then it goes into the back of the bodice. So the back, bodice is quite scooped at the back, and then the straps join in to where there's an invisible zip.
That sounds lovely.
For anyone who wants to know, it's the M7951 by McCool's, and I'm making it in, I think it's VUD.
Hazel, how did you just remember that off the top of your head?
Have you not seen our notes for the Tipsy Sewist?
Oh, I'm not looking at the notes.
I have them right next to me. For anyone who's, we have a Google Doc that we write our notes so we know where our talking points are meant to be, and I was very organized the other day and wrote down that pattern.
I am not looking at the notes. I'm just looking at you.
Oh, thanks.
No worries. Thanks.
I mean, to be fair, I'm looking at you, but I did just read that off. So,
well done.
So what got me first, and I feel like I've touched upon this in a recent Instagram post when it comes to the big four patterns sizing. So as a standard rule, I'm probably like a size 10 to 12 on McCool's, which compared to other pattern companies, sometimes I'm really offended by, and compared to other pattern companies, I'm incredibly humbled by. So it just depends, luck of the draw, you know.
Yeah.
So this particular pattern, though, I had to cut out in a size 14, according to their measurements, which, I mean, I've got a big bust, you know, but I don't have a very big waist, and it really just, I was like, this is ridiculous. So I sewed the bodice and tried it on, and I was like, this fits a bit weird because it was huge. Like, there is so much gaping around my bust. So I was like, right, I'm going to attach it to the waistband and I'm going to try it on again and see how I feel. The waistband is so unbelievably small.
Really?
Compared to the bodice. Yeah. Like, I was going, I would need a corset and I would need to be like Marilyn Monroe proportions, like absolutely snatched, cinched waist and a ginormous great big chest to make this pattern fit. Like, I was perplexed. So I cut out another waistband and I just basically traced the waistband I had and I added like 3 inches to it. So I was like, I can always take out of the waistband, like length. And then I was trying to get this bodice to fit. So I moved it all down at like an inch into the waistband and then it began to sit properly here, but there was still all this gaping here. And it was just...
When you say here, what do you mean for the listener?
Like on the sides of my boobs, it's sort of like my side boob, like going around onto my rib cage and down to my back.
Baggy.
It's like full blown, like I could fit fists in it. I have just shoved my hands down the side of my jumper to demonstrate like how big I have. It's ridiculous. And I honestly, I just don't really understand the big four sizing at all because...
I'm the same. They add so much ease. I don't understand why they feel like they have to add 4 or 5 inches of ease where an indie pattern designer doesn't feel the need to do that. So I'm not
exactly sure
what they're getting from adding that much ease apart from a lot of frustration from their sewists.
Exactly. And it causes so much frustration. And then it also causes so much heartache, I feel like. I don't know. I think I've heard so many stories from other people, like Medista Sewing, Sally from Medista Sewing. She's made one of these dresses and she talked a lot, not this particular dress, a different dress. I think it's the Dawn McCool's. I can't remember what the numbers are. And I remember last summer, she posted a lot on her Instagram stories that she had to go down a size and she was going, but according to my measurements on the back of this, I should be making this size, not two sizes down.
So did the finished garment measurements not work for the dress you made? Did they not line up?
Well, they did, but the size 14 had a 28 inch waist as its finished garment measurement.
That would have made me like a size 18.
Well, exactly. It was,
whereas most of the McCall's dresses I make are in a size 40.
This is the thing, like, there is no rhyme or reason to this particular pattern sizing, and there's so much inconsistency. I know my mum has massive issues with it sometimes, and she goes, well, I've made a 14 in this, so why am I making a size 22 in this? And I'm going, well, why am I, why, like, it, there's no rhyme or reason to it. And I feel like maybe there's a knack with their patterns, and maybe there's something we don't know.
Well, maybe that does lead me on nicely to my next fail, because it's basically the exact same issue. And this is the dress that I made. I'm showing you, Hazel, just so you know. This is the dress that I made for Frugal Frocks last year, which is... where it's a challenge, they're running it again this year, actually in March, I think, where you sew a pattern from your stash, sew fabric from your stash, and you use a free pattern. So this pattern, I mean, it's technically like, it was free to me because I got it in a magazine, and it's the Butterick B6657, and it is a gorgeous dress, and I do get a lot of compliments on it, but that is now, the whole process, I did not enjoy one bit. So when I first made it, I did a toile. I actually did a toile.
Oh my God, I'm so proud.
I know, thank you. And the size that I had chosen told me that I need to make this specific size. I can't remember off the top of my head. And when I made the toile, the bust was 45 inches. I'm a 34B in my like cup size, and when you measure my chest exactly at my largest, I'm like 35 inches, so it ended up being 10 inches bigger than my actual bust size. I don't understand. I thought, oh my God, this must be something I'm doing wrong. And then someone reached out to me and was like, no, they've just got crazy ease, and you obviously had chosen too big a size. But I went for it, I kind of thought that was the size it was going to fit, because I don't know, it was a whole thing. It was my first time sewing with any pattern from Big Four, so yeah, it was so confusing, because on the pattern pieces is where they've got the sizes, did you know?
Yeah, like,
they write them on the tissue, but yeah. I didn't realize that, and I was getting really confused. And basically I ended up having to remake it in a, obviously a smaller size, and then grade out to my hips. But that toile, I would have needed to take a good 8 inches out. Because obviously you do need a couple of inches of ease. Like, you need to be able to get it on and off. It's a gorgeous dress pattern. I'm actually considering making it again now with the knowledge that I have. And it is gorgeous. It's got like this panel. I don't even know how you would explain it, but it's got like this panel underneath the bust that's like a triangle.
I don't know, is it kind of like an empire?
You like gather under the bust, and then you have a piece in between your bodice and your skirt.
Yes.
I mean, we'll post the photos of all the garments we speak about today, but I'm gonna give it another go. It's got this cute little puff sleeve, and
it's gorgeous. I feel like all of my fitting fails have been with a Big Four.
That's so interesting.
I feel like very few of my Big Fours have gone off the bat.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've got a very basic simplicity wrap skirt, but it's a wrap skirt. Like, you can cinch it, you can let it out.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of other things, I've really struggled with it. And
it puts you off. It really puts you
off. It does. It really does. But then I was also having a look on the McCall. Is it the McCall's website or the Simplicity website? One of them has Mrs. patterns. They're drafted for a shorter person.
Are they?
Yeah. So they're drafted for like 5'3", and all of their other patterns are, or something like that. And then the other ones are drafted for 5'6".
That might be why I find those patterns so much easier to sew with.
Yeah, because they're drafted for people who are smaller. I think they're called like petite or something. Because that makes sense. You know, 5 foot, being 5 foot two or something. But I think there must be some knack, just not got that yet.
Yeah, and definitely got a toile with those Big Four. That's the
I mean, I do prefer indie patterns, but sometimes for like, they do, occasionally the Big Fours do smash a pattern out of the park, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, we know about the McCall's dress that I wear over and over again.
Yes, that one, I think that one just fits everyone so well. And it's such an easy looking pattern to do.
I just had a look at the Google Doc, and I remembered something that I was going to say. about a fail that I had, which is a much shorter story, don't worry. And it's not really like a sewing fail, it's like a sewist fail. So I made a dress for my cousin's wedding, and it was made out of this scuba fabric, and it's really gorgeous. It's actually the dress I wore in our Valentine's photo shoot, Rose Cafe bustier with the skirt and with the tie straps, and it's really cute. Anyway, so I was in Liverpool, me and my boyfriend had got a hotel, we were getting ready for the wedding, like feeling great, like super bougie. And on the walk to the wedding, it was like 20 minutes from the hotel, I was in heels, and I was like, oh, this skirt is so itchy. But I know that scuba fabric, when you cut it and you don't line it, can be itchy. And I thought I overlocked everything, and I'd lined the bodice, and I thought I'd done my like due diligence, but I was like, oh, maybe I missed a bit and it's just super itchy. Get to the wedding, we joined from the evening, so we were like dancing, and I was like, Sam, my bum is like on fire, like it hurts so much, and I don't know if it's this skirt, what's happening. And he was like, let me look. So then we like, I like shimmied against a wall, and he like unzipped me, and there was a huge pin that was like stuck in my bum. And it was like,
oh no.
And when I was dancing and walking, it'd been like dislodged, and it was like moving around, and there were like scratches all over my bum from this pin.
In like a
circle, like I guess like a 3-inch radius of like scratches. And it obviously, like when I'd inserted the zip, I'd like not taken the pin out of the bottom, keeping the zip in place. And I'm just so stupid, because for the whole time I was like, oh, it must just be a problem with the fabric being really itchy, not like I have like a 2-inch pin stuck in my arm.
Oh no.
Yeah, I was so stupid. And like the more alcohol I drank, the pain did get less, but it was not ideal.
That was not ideal at all. Imagine if you had not realized until the next morning, and then you woke up and you're like, right, my ass really fucking hurts, and there was just a pin sticking out.
I know. Basically, that's what it was. I was walking around in that dress for nearly 2 hours.
Oh my goodness. If anyone else has done something similar, like leaving pins in a garment, please let us know, because I feel like Elle needs to know that she's not alone.
Oh my God. Just let me know all of your sewing fails. I'm so ready for it.
Oh my God. We should do a shout out.
Do you have any more fails?
I'm sure I do, but I can't think of any fails. Aside from like stupid things like, you know, sewing pocket bags the wrong way, invisible zips, somehow managing to sew over the teeth.
All the time, and it's so frustrating, and it's so hard to unpick.
And then the teeth never really, like, they do up again. I mean, I get really cheap zippers from Amazon. So have you got an invisible zipper foot though?
I lost it.
See, that is a game changer. And also pressing the zip, so like pushing the iron really close to the teeth, it honestly works a dream.
I'm too scared to press plastic zippers in case I melt them.
Oh, they're fine. Because, I mean, they have to be, to an extent, they have to be...
Hazel, you know I'm not going to be able to hear you if you're stood up away from your microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
To an extent, they have to be, what's the word, heatproof. Because, I mean, you're going to iron them and they're going to go in the wash.
Yeah, I guess they just can't have, like, direct heat on top of the teeth. Yeah.
Okay, I'm about to show... Sorry, this is... But look at that zipper that I put in.
This is Hazel's new jumpsuit that she made for Somi Sunshine. It's so good. The blog post
is up now, so it'll be ready to read. But look how good that zip is.
That zip is perfect.
Thank you. And that's because I pressed the zipper away from the tee.
I know you're supposed to. It's a good thing to do. Definitely a good thing to do. I think I'll just finish with my last fail. And clearly this is a Hazel's sewing fails episode. But you know what this one is, because I'm wearing the jumper.
Oh my God, this is too funny.
It's very quick.
I can't believe you did this.
Me and Hazel were both gifted iron on vinyl by Happy Fabrics, and you might have seen like our videos and stuff. I made this jumper and I wanted to put potatoes on the front and like pink iron on vinyl, and everyone's like, why, what's the joke, what's the pun? And I'm like, there is no pun, I just love potatoes, just let me live my life. Genuinely, I went to a party the other day and my friends were like, so tell us more, like, is it like a reference, like what is it? And I was like, there is nothing to tell, I just love potatoes, so I'm gonna make a jumper and I'm gonna print the word potatoes and stick it on. Unfortunately, when I first did it, it wasn't until I'd printed and cut the word onto my iron-on vinyl that I realized that I'd spelt potatoes wrong.
At least you didn't press it onto the fabric.
I was so close. I was like, this I spelt it P-O-T-A-O-E-T-S, I think. Potatoes. I've got a video of it, but it was so stupid and so classic me that I had one job, and that one job was to write the word potatoes, and I spelt it wrong. And then I didn't know until I was like way into the process, and I'd wasted all of that vinyl.
Oh, babe.
So stupid.
I mean, there are worse words to spell wrong, but potatoes, I think that's a bit basic, to be fair.
Yeah, it's super basic. Like a 7-year-old can spell the word potato. I'm very good at spelling, so I think I was just having an off moment.
To be fair, that working out how to use that Happy Flex vinyl really did. I think it was a bit of a trip for us both, really.
Yeah, because I found Hazel. I'm gonna kill you and your fucking WhatsApp. It's happening again.
I don't know how to turn it off.
Who is sorry. It? If it's Joe again, and you two are talking about the cinema whilst we're recording,
to his last message. So
one message, you know,
it's Joe, but he's basically like, why are you not replying?
Can he not hear you? He's in the next room.
He's 14% deaf, so he can't hear anything. It means that if there's background noise or there's like a wall in between us, he can't hear. It's great, I think, for him, because he can sometimes pretend he doesn't hear things I say to him.
I love like, that.
I'm gonna pretend I can't hear her.
Well, I know we need to get off, but we still haven't even done sewing wins.
How long have we been talking for?
Nearly the 40 minute. Okay, Hazel, I've talked all about my fails. Now it's time for you to lift the moon and talk about some sewing wins, please.
Okay. I feel like I'm about to claim this. You're looking at me really weirdly.
Because it's not saying recording anymore. Oh, no, it is. It is. It is.
It's
I was like, for fuck's sake.
It's perfectly. So I'm about to claim full responsibility for a Tilly Buttons Sewing Indigo hack. Mm. And that is putting the Anthea sleeve on. And I know Elle has smashed it out of the park with hers, and they are gorgeous. And I'm so jealous I don't have more of them, and I need more of these hacks in my wardrobe. I want a short one, though, for summer, with a giant sleeve and like mini length. Like, ooh.
With how many tiers? Just the one?
Just the one, yeah.
That'd be cute. Really cute.
Super cute.
I do think that the hack 100% everyone knows it came from you.
I'm an influencer and you're an inspired person. I sounded so crap. Oh my goodness. Oh, honestly, it's the best thing, and it just works so well, because I know Tilly Buttons obviously have their new puff sleeve
add-on
expansion pack, and it's so cute, and it's like the perfect sort of it's I like to think of it as like a little Bridgerton puff. Like, it's a nice little short one, it's little, it's dainty, it's elegant, and it suits the pattern well. But I feel like the drama of the Anthea sleeve,
it's next level, babes. Next level.
It's next level, and you can do it in so many fabrics. It just
I am planning another one as we speak, so I've literally got it with the William Morris fabric that I was gifted from Craft Cotton Company. And I'm going to do the indigo with an Anthea puff sleeve and a detachable collar.
Oh, that's going to be so gorgeous. Well, that is going to be so extra.
I know, because I'm thinking maybe I could wear it. I was like, maybe I'll wear it on my birthday. But no, we have an idea for my birthday. But
we do.
I can wear it like at another event. It's my friend's 30th. Yeah. In a couple of weeks, and she's doing like black tie, which I mean, this is like going to be my version of black tie.
Yeah, I think it'll be super cute
with a really bit of heel that could look glamour,
high glam,
even though it's floral. When I think of floral, I don't think of black tie.
I think it depends on the floral, and I think the William Morris florals, they've just got that certain elegance to them that I think they are very much black tie. They definitely work as black tie.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I really want a pink one.
Yes. Oh, you would look so good in like a hot pink. I know you don't like all of the hot pinks, but
I love it. I think I'm coming around now to like a stronger, bolder jewel tone now.
Yeah, I think even if just like in that plain, or if you did it in a thicker, like heavier weight. I think that would just be so luck.
Yes, it would. I'm on the lookout for it. I want quite a thick, maybe like a slightly textured weave of a cotton.
I think we're picturing the same fabric for sure.
I think we are. So if anyone finds a heavy structure, not heavy, but like a very structured cotton in hot, weighty.
Yeah.
In a heavy duty structured cotton, send it to me and send it to Elle because I'm sure Elle will want it too.
Oh yeah, I'll just copy it again.
That's fine. We can have matching dresses.
We need to have something matching.
We do. Probably we won't. It we'll turn up to events like it, like
no, we always plan our outfits in advance. That would not happen. So I think for sure the indigo hack is a definite win for both of us. It was such a joy when you like first turned up in that black Anthea indigo hack. So gorgeous. And then that inspired me, and the tartan version I made, the rainbow tartan, is definitely like up there with my favorite thing I've ever made.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. And the matching scrunchie you have to go with it is just...
It's a bow.
Is it?
Yeah, I'm going to do a tutorial.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
Have I not shown you it? Here it is.
I haven't seen it in the flesh. I've only seen it in pictures.
I haven't really posted the photos of it yet.
Oh, that's too cute.
So yeah, I'm doing a tutorial later in the month, early next month.
I love it.
Because loads of people ask me how to make it. So it's so good for like using up your scraps. And I just tied a piece of elastic in the back so that I can just pop it on my ponytail.
It was just if you've got old hair ties lying around.
Oh my God, maybe I should use it as a bow tie.
You should make Sam a matching one.
He would hate that so much.
I asked Joe the other day, I was like, if I made you a matching tie to my dress to wear to my cousin's wedding later this year, would you wear it? And he was like, yeah, of course I would, kissy face. And I was like, my dress is purple, but okay.
Oh my God, why is he so like into it? Sam would be like, no.
Joe doesn't have a choice. I've told you that I made him matching t-shirts to go to Edinburgh last year.
You sent me a photo of it and I was like, are you for real? I thought it was a joke. Like, there's no way that Sam would leave the house wearing anything matching with me. No way.
Joe loves it. I think he also kind of knows that he doesn't really have a choice.
Oh my goodness. That is next level. To be honest, actually, I think maybe I will make him a matching tie for my cousin's wedding as well this summer. Because I think bow tie is a bit twee. Like, he would never wear a bow tie. But like...
Yeah.
A normal tie, if it's a nice fabric and I make it well, I think he would wear it.
Yeah, and it's a tie. What's not to like?
Exactly.
Tie?
And he has like
a pop of colour.
He only owns two ties anyway. He'd only be wearing one of those two ties to the wedding.
Joe has a lot of ties, but he has some very questionable colours.
Yeah, but that's because Joe works in like corporate. My boyfriend doesn't need to wear a suit ever. He doesn't like
this colour.
Oh, that's very Lib Dem.
Yeah, it is.
I love that. He would just look full on Nick Clegg.
Oh, yeah, he would.
Imagine that we've had some politics in the fucking podcast.
I never thought that would ever happen.
So another sewing win that I wanted to talk about is my Betty dress. And this is the Betty dress pattern from Sew Over It. And the reason that I think this is a big win for me is that it is that gorgeous fitted bodice with the big 50s skirt, and it has to be so spot on. Like, that neckline needs to lie super flat.
Life.
It has to like literally cup your boobs. And I tried really hard to make sure I was really slow in the process, made the toile, made the adjustments, made the real thing. And I'm super proud of it. Like, it fits me like a glove. And
it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm really, really proud of it. And I think that is a big win for me.
Would you make it again?
Yeah, I think I would, because I don't know if you know this, but I mean, I've always enjoyed the vintage style. And when I was early 20s living in North London, I used to dress quite vintage. Yeah, I used to just love anything from the 50s and 60s. And I still wear some like cute little like polo neck tops, like tennis skirts and... my Fred Perry's are like my favorite thing. And I've always kind of like had that nod to the 50s or 60s, not so much anymore. So wearing a dress like that really kind of brought me back to the fashion that I used to love. And I think modern take, so that it doesn't look like I'm wearing like a costume or anything like that. And I think I wore it to an event and I absolutely loved it. So I think I probably would wear it again. I mean, I wore it actually with trainers to go to Cambridge with Sam. So it's not even that.
Yeah, with your little green bag.
Yeah, it's not even like super fancy, but I loved that outfit. I felt like I was dressing up for the day, but still felt completely confident and completely myself, which I think is what you want from that outfit.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like it's a very you dress.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's in that burnt orange tone that you said that I don't have a lot of, or do have a lot of. I can't remember what you said.
Well, I've always associated that colour with you, and I don't really know why. And then I was, sorry, this is like a bit of a tangent, guys, but I was then stalking, we were talking about it, and I said, I associate this colour with you. So I then had a bit of a stalk of Elle's Instagram, and actually, the predominant colour, I think, on your feed is pink.
100%. Not
burnt orange, and it was...
It's weird.
I was like, oh.
I know. I do love burnt orange like that. Yeah. Maybe it's because that's the room that's like in my house and my decor is quite burnt orange, but my sewing room, which is pink. But yeah, I think the majority of my clothes I make are pink and I need to move away from that a little bit.
But it's good to have a safety. And I think going back to our last episode, our Valentine's shout outs, you know, you need to sew your colors. You do need to learn what your colors are for sure. And there's no point deviating too far from what you know and what you love, because else if you don't love it, you won't wear it. Basically.
Exactly. You need to make something that's yourself. I've been so guilty of that, of making things just because they're like fashionable in the sewing community, or like this, the latest pattern or the latest fabric, and I'll make it. And then I'll be like, oh, this isn't me. I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, it's very easy to get suckered into that. What's trendy and what's cool. And you see someone else do it and you're like, oh, love. And then you put it on you and you go,
yeah, no. Not for me.
Yeah,
so interesting. Well, I think it was better, we need to wrap this up, hun.
That's fine.
Thank you so much for everyone for listening. It's been a wild ride of bad internet, Zoom recording for the first time, sewing fails and sewing wins, but we've got through it in the end.
2 hours to record this episode.
2 hours that usually takes us like 40 minutes.
Yeah, an hour with like stop starting, pausing, looking at each other going, why did you just say that? But yeah,
I don't know how I'm gonna edit it.
It's gonna be fine.
Yes, so thank you so much. Hazel, can you tell us what the next episode is gonna be, please?
So next episode is going to be us talking about our best and worst fabrics to sew with. And this is very, I think, personal choice.
Yeah, might be some controversialness going on.
But, you know, we're here for the honest opinion, so, and we know you love it, so
100%.
Let's go.
I love it. Thank you so much for watching. As always, please do subscribe to the podcast. Did I say watching?
Yeah.
I'm so tired. Thank you so much for listening. As always, subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review if you liked it. Share the love and keep on listening next time.
And we will listen to... No, you will listen to it on the next one.
Oh my God. Stop.